Hebrews 12 and 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. May we bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for its blessings. We thank you for the privilege of studying your word, and we pray you'd help us to hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against you. Bless the church, help us to grow and have a greater outreach and touch more people for thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to talk to you about chastisement, the certainty of it, and the how of it, and the purpose of it. You know, if you're a child of God, you're saved forever. If you're a child of God now, you'll be a child of God forever. Our Lord said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Does this mean that God overlooks sin in the life of his children? No, no. A thousand times no. There's no such thing as sinning and getting by with it. But I believe if people understood the doctrine of the two natures of man and the doctrine of chastisement, they could understand the believer having eternal life. Once saved, always saved. If they get those two doctrines and get them straight, it would answer a lot of questions. Now, God does deal with his children. And all of his children need dealing with, because we all sin. 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, it says we deceive ourselves. And that's the only one that's deceived. If a person makes a claim of sinlessness, it doesn't fool the family, they know better, or the neighbors, they know better. And so if there's anyone that's mixed up, it's the one who makes the claim. But someone says, I don't do bad. I don't commit bad sins. I don't cuss, I don't drink, I don't steal, I don't murder. I don't lie. You know, in the Bible, we are commanded not to do certain things. And then we are commanded, on the other hand, to do certain things. Now, when we fail to do what we're commanded to do, that's sin, just like the other way around. For instance, ye shall be witnesses. If we fail to witness, we sin. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Wrong to get drunk. It's also wrong not to let the Holy Spirit control our lives. And so, in James 4:17, it says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you know some good that you're to do and you don't do it, it's sin. If any man will be my disciple, and I think he wants all of us to be his disciples, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Follow me. God does mete out punishment, chastisement, to his disobedient children. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Psalm 89:30 says, excuse me, if his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgressions with a rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Now, how does God chasten his children? God has more ways of chastening his children than any one of us or all of us could enumerate. But I can pick out some special ways that are mentioned in the Bible. For instance, the saints at Corinth perverted the Lord's Supper. Instead of having it as a memorial, they turned it into a drunken feast. And 1 Corinthians 11:30 says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now, not all sickness is chastisement. But here's a case where there was sickness as a matter of chastisement. There's weakness. Not all weakness, of course, is a matter of chastisement. But some is. Some, Paul said, sleep. Some are dead. Now, certainly, you can't say that physical death always comes as a matter of personal chastisement. And yet it came that way to Moses. Moses was God's leader for Israel. And on one occasion he was told to smite the rock that is before thee in Horeb. He smote the rock and it gave forth water for the people and their livestock. Paul says that that rock was Christ. So in a picture he smote Christ. Second time he was told, when the people grew thirsty, to speak to the rock. He didn't do that, but smote the rock, and in a picture crucified the Son of God afresh, put him to an open shame, and God killed him and buried him. Moses was a saved man, but he lost his physical life. He was allowed to see into the promised land, but not enter. Ananias and Sapphira, I have all reason in the world to believe they were children of God, members of the early church. They lied about the sale of some property, and God struck them dead. And it's kind of interesting to read on a little bit and find out some people were afraid to join the church after that. And I can understand that. Say, you know, if I'm going to be struck dead for lying, I don't know whether I want to join the church or not. He may take a loving. You say, now, I don't believe that. I don't believe God, as a matter of chastisement, would take a loving. Well, I'll give you an example of it. David, you recall, was loafing when he should have been with his people in battle. He lusted after a beautiful woman, Bathsheba, committed adultery with her, had her husband killed. And there was a baby born to them. And listen to what the prophet says. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house. And the Lord struck the child Uriah's wife bare unto David. And it was very sick. Record tells us 7 days later, the child died. Now notice it says that the Lord struck the child. There wasn't enough doctors and nurses to save the life of that child. You say, well, that wasn't right. Okay, you can say that if you want to, but I'm not going to say it. I just know that happened. I know it's no doubt happened many times since then. I know another thing. Chastisement may bring trouble and disgrace upon a family. That happened with the same character, David. He was told the sword would not depart from his family. He was also told that God would raise up evil against thee out of thy house. Now, if you read about David and his troubles, you know, he really paid for what he did. He paid in chastisement, in suffering. On pretext of sickness, Amnon ruined his half-sister Tamar. Absalom took up the feud and had his brother killed. Later on, Absalom was slain. And you see David as he climbs the steps of the gate tower and he cries out, O Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died with thee. You want to see a man's sins, finding him out. You can see it with David. And I think God can take away our wages and cause the works of our hands to fail. You know, I was just reading about Israel in the book of Haggai. Haggai 1:2. Thus speaketh the Lord of the host, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Now, evidently, they were supposed to build God's house, and they didn't want to. They were rebellious. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. Now, I feel like sometimes I've had that sort of chastisement, that my wages just put in a bag that was full of holes. But I know that God did visit rebellious Israel with that kind of chastisement. It could be that God will take away the joy of our salvation and give us a sensitive conscience that makes life a matter of torment. David said, I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. I'll tell you another thing God can do. You know, I believe if we expect God to hear us, we better hear him. God can turn a deaf ear to our prayers. In Psalm 59, and 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Now, what's the purpose of chastisement? Why does God chasten his people? Is he simply angry with us or wants to even the score? Is that why he does it? No, not that. For instance, I'll tell you one reason why he chastens us, that we may not be condemned with the world. And in 1 Corinthians 10, or 11 rather, 30 and 31, listen to it. If we would judge ourselves, verses 31 and 32, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Unbelievers are condemned already, but God's people will never be condemned with the world. Then God chastens us for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. God wants us to be more and more like him. He wants us to be dedicated. He wants us to be consecrated, willing to do his will. Hebrews 12:10, for they verily, that is, earthly parents, for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. And then I think he chastens us that we might be in subjection to the Heavenly Father. We've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? You know, in Ephesians it says, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, thou mayest live long on the earth. Under the law of Moses, some rebellious children died. They were stoned to death. You'll find that in the law of Moses, a rebellious child that was just incorrigible, stoned to death, beat to death with rocks. I think today there are many of God's children who die young because of their rebellion against God. Another reason why God chastens us is that we might yield fruit for him. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Chastisement is burdensome at times. It's grievous. It's burdensome. But endure it for the sake of what it does for us. It makes us more like our Savior and enables us to bear the fruit of righteousness. But I'm glad to tell you that it's in love that God chastens his people, not out of anger, but in love. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. How do we avoid the severe chastisement of God? All of us are chastened. If you're not chastened, you're not a child of God. But I don't think any of us want the terrible scourgings that can come from God. Well, I think we need to exercise self-judgment, straighten our lives out. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And if we don't judge ourselves and get the things out of our lives contrary to the will of God, then God takes over. And when he judges, his judgment always takes the form of chastisement. And it can hurt. God knows how to make it hurt. Exercise self-judgment. Confess our sins. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I've told this before, I don't want to tell it again. I got my share of whippings when I was a small boy. And I learned when my father would stand me off at arm's length with a good long switch. And I've had him do that. I was in really for a good whipping. But I learned, I really learned this. If I stood up close to it, the strokes were shorter. There just wasn't any way for him to whip me as hard. And I think if you and I would escape the terrible scourgings that can come to a child of God, we just need to get up close to God and live close to him each day. When we go astray, be like David of old, confess it. That's what made him great. And God, I think it's wonderful we have a God who gives us such fatherly care as he does. And when we need a whipping, he gives it to us in love. And somehow I want to believe, Brother Penn, that most of the time we're conscious of when he's chastening us. Deep down inside, there's a feeling that I had it coming. And I'm glad we have a Father who cares for us, who chastens us, and who chastens us out of love. Thank you for your attention.